Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
What's up?
I'm testing out new, like, how you doing?
I don't know what to say.
What's the appropriate response to what's up?
What's up? I don't know that you could say something about, like, that was from a Budweiser commercial 20 years ago. Get some new material, Maggie.
Yeah.
I don't know what the appropriate response. The sky?
I think the appropriate response is, work used to say hello, that. Maggie.
Oh. Hi, Mike. Hi, Michael. It's so nice to see you today. I hope you are having a lovely afternoon.
Yeah, same to you.
It's such nice weather outside today.
It is beautiful weather.
It actually is. Seriously, I was joking. But I mean, I was joking about making, like, small talk. But it actually is lovely weather today in Atlanta. So, Mike, we recently had a discussion about how to get promoted at work.
Yes, which I liked. And that was fun.
Yeah, I liked. You know, I will say I liked it, but I'm always a little bit, like, all over the place. I'm extra all over the place lately on topics like this because I'm a little rusty in my retirement, you know?
You've been gone for, like, 2 months, Maggie.
It's been 5 months. Not that I'm counting, but it has been 5 months. But we're going to talk about how to ask for a raise,
yeah,
which I think is a very stressful topic for many
people.
Oh, yeah,
super stressful. The reason we decided to talk about this after our how to get a promotion episode is that there are two ways to make money in your job. The most lucrative way, the way to get the biggest bumps in pay, is to get promoted. As you elevate your roles, the pay is going to come in, and in larger degrees. The other way that you should be thinking about this, though, to get incremental, smaller adjustments, is to get raises along the way. They're not going to be the same as getting promoted, but if you're doing both, by the end of your career, you're going to be making a ton of money, and hopefully you will have saved all of it along the way. But this is an important part of managing your career and your income.
Yes, very important. And before we jump into some tactical advice, Mike, let's do a little personal story sharing.
Okay. So, from both of us, or are you going to share a
story? No, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you some questions, then I'm going to just talk and answer my own questions. But let's start with you. How many times, if ever, have you asked for a raise in your career?
Never.
Really? Mm-hmm. By the way, if it ever seems like we're just, like, making up, like, we don't know this stuff, but I don't know this. I'm, like, learning this as you guys are. Okay, never.
Yeah.
Like, what? Tell me, you've always, like, been paid well, you've always been whatever. You're a white male. Okay, that's the answer here, but keep going.
Like, I came out of business school into a large company, I was paid well, and then I got promoted all the time. So, you know, we talked about the different levels of jobs in our last episode, and I made the distinction between kind of, like, frontline associates, managers, directors, VPs, senior VPs, etc. But within all of those job categories, there are multiple levels, and I was getting promoted every 1 or 2 years between all of these. And so I was getting raises by way of these promotions and rose up very fast. So I became a director when I was, like, 31 or something. So after business school, going up through what was, like, 7 promotions, like, I was making a lot of money.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And you definitely have switched. Like, how many companies have you worked for since you got?
3.
Okay. Oh, that's fewer than I was thinking, actually. So not that. You haven't switched that many times. We're going to talk about, like, asking for a raise within the same company. But we'll get into, like, when you're job switching and how to talk about salaries and kind of getting a raise at that point. We'll cover that at the end, because I think that's actually a different type of salary,
like,
discussion.
Negotiations.
To navigate. So to answer that question for me, I honestly can't remember, but I know I've asked at least once formally for a raise, and I think maybe twice. But what's interesting about, what's kind of a little bit different in my story is I stayed at the same company for the last 15 years. I was at a company before that for 5 years. And when you stay at the same company, you're more likely to be underpaid often, because a lot of big bumps that people get are when they switch companies. It's why people company hop a lot. I don't love it as a leader and as an employer. I didn't love it, but I got it, right? People did it. So I was often the youngest in my role. Like I mentioned in a previous episode about how to get promoted, I happened to kind of rise through the ranks as our digital team was growing. I was often the youngest person. And because I had also been at the company for a long time, I think I was often underpaid. And then throw in there that I'm a woman too, but I was often underpaid. And so I know I asked once, I think I might have asked a second time. Sometimes I didn't have to ask. We'd be going through like equity reviews, and I was always like, I got to get caught up in this. Like I was just guessing, like I'm probably part of this. I was dealing with it with my team, and then I'd be like, hopefully someone comes knocking on my door. And so I sometimes would things were getting kind of adjusted tied to that. But I do remember a specific time in my career when I was so nervous and I felt very underpaid, and I asked for a raise, and I did get it eventually. And I'll talk more about that, but that's the like one time I know I have done it successfully.
I mean, this is like at every level, people are concerned about this because it is something that is like, it is reflective on themselves and they have no information about it. So if you are concerned about this or timid about talking about it, or just like generally anxious about how much you are paid and asking for money, know that this happens to everybody at all levels.
All the time. And like we talked about in the episode about getting promoted, this is an art, not a science, right? Like, especially in corporate America. One thing I will say is, though I wasn't asking for a raise that often, I was often pushing for more responsibility, right? Like I had ideas and I was like, hey, we should do things this way. Hey, you know, I like happen to be sitting here, like I could run that team. And so I was not as much talking about like the money, but I was very proactive about like doing a great job and sharing my ideas of how we could expand different things we did within our business. And with that often came promotions and raises. And so it's just worth noting. The other thing that I think is important to note is, though, Mike, I'm shocked you've never asked for a raise. But again, because you were getting promoted, you know, on your own and didn't have to. That's a great privilege. I will say Mike and I in different roles are on the other side of people asking for raises. So I am constantly getting asked from team members. I mean, I've managed hundreds of people over the years, and I frequently have been asked for a raise by someone who works for me. And so I have the discussions with HR. I know what will and won't get. I'm pulling the strings that could allow for that raise to happen, right? And having those budget discussions and everything else. And then Mike, as a finance business partner and my finance business partner for a number of years, you're on the financial side. I got like HR asking me questions. I got finance asking me questions, and I've got to manage within my payroll budget. And so I know very much from the side of the often that one of the approvers, not I can't approve something on my own. I've got to have often my boss and finance and HR approving it. So I just say that to say, I think we both have a lot of insight and experience to provide on this topic, even though, you know, from the side of the decision maker, if that makes sense.
One point that we will also end on, but I think it's important to caveat all of our advice coming into this, is that you should not be resentful if you don't get what you ask for. There are a million things going on behind the scenes. You don't know the financial health of your company. You don't really know the policies around when people ask for raises. All of this stuff is kept hidden from you. And so there's going to be...
You don't see the payroll budget, which I did.
Yeah. So you could go through all of this great advice, make the best case possible, and still not get it for some reason that you wouldn't be aware of. And you have to just go into it with that mindset.
Yeah. And hopefully some of those reasons are going to be explained to you by somebody, but sometimes they aren't, depending on what type of company you work for. So first and foremost, do your research. Know what your worth is in the market, either through other job postings or offers that you might have actually had real discussions with another company hiring through industry contacts you have at other companies. Like you could put a feeler out. I worked in digital as an example. I knew a lot of people that worked in digital at other companies, and it was not inappropriate for me to say like, hey, you know, ballpark, like what would I make as an analyst at your company? What would I make if I was a director in marketing at your company, right? A lot of people in more senior roles have a pretty good idea of kind of generally what some of those roles could make. There's sites like Glassdoor, Mike. I don't know if you've ever used that one, but I think people anonymously report salaries at different positions and levels. And so there's a lot of research you can do on your own. Note that I'm not suggesting you go ask other coworkers how much money they make. We'll get into that in a little while. But know your worth and know the market rate for what it is that you do.
And to touch on again my previous point about like not being resentful if you don't get something. If you do this research and you determine that you are worth $100,000 on the market and you're making $75,000, if you don't get that raise, then that's an indication that you should go get a different job. And if you're not willing to go get a different job, then just understand that these are like two separate things, what you could be getting and what you have settled for. And so it's important to know how much you make, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get what you're asking for.
Yeah, which you'll keep hearing us say. And, you know, at that point, you got to make some decisions.
Yeah. The next point is that you really need to understand how good your performance is and what value you are bringing to the company. And, your past performance reviews are going to be very helpful. And hopefully you're getting honest feedback from your supervisor and your stakeholders. But you need to be a good performer, if not a very strong performer, in order to get anything outside of the normal cycle of salary increases.
You need to be an above average performer. I hate to use the term average, but like it's true.
Well above average if you want to get something special. The other thing to keep in mind is like you should have a realistic view of what your value is to the company, because this will also play a factor in how much the company is willing to do for you. And you might think your job is very important. Your team might think their work is very important, but you could be a support role to a support role to a support role. And if you really want to make great strides and ask for things, you need to get in something that is like at the core of the business. And I think this is lost on a lot of people because everybody wants to feel good about the work they are doing. And in some way, it's important, but is it the most important to the business?
Yeah, Mike, one of my favorite books, could you say this? I've said this many times. What's one of my favorite like business books?
I have no idea.
You failed the test, Mike. You are not above average. I'm just kidding. Okay. It's Lynchpin by Seth Godin.
Yeah, Lynchpin. How could I forget? You talk about it all the time.
It is all about being indispensable, right? And so to your point, it's like, are you indispensable to your company? First off, nobody's indispensable, but you want people to worry about you leaving and think, how are we going to keep doing this without that person leaving? They're so good at their job. They've got such a great attitude, blah, blah, blah. And you got to kind of trust your gut because it's going to affect how hard you go in asking for more money, right? Mm-hmm. Like how sort of, not timid is the wrong word, but are you like asking, suggesting, demanding? Demanding is a strong word, but you know what I mean? Like you're going to, how hard of a line are you going to toe as you go in and ask for a raise? And so another point related to this is when I talked about doing your research, I know I said, do your research. I don't mean going and asking your coworkers how much money they make. That puts them in an awkward position.
Puts everybody in an awkward position.
It's not a factor you should ever go into asking for a raise for. Like you walking in to HR, to your boss, to whoever, and implying that you know somebody else's salary and that's why you should make more money, it's just not a core reason to get a raise. It's not a legal reason to get a raise in most jobs because there's so many factors that go into what somebody is paid. It also, to me, sends a huge like red flag of appropriateness to someone because I'm like, wait, are you like, you want to be a future leader at this company and you're like going around and like trying to get people's salary information and then trying to use that as a case? It makes me think that you're... It would make me think that you're lacking the understanding of what actually warrants you to make more money and what a valid reason for you to make more money is that you're paid below the market average for this. Like for me to come in and say, hey, I'm an above average performer and you've consistently told me I am in my annual performance reviews. And I know through some research I've done at other companies, et cetera, on average, what the market potential for this role is. And I feel like I believe I am below average. That is a meaningful case that makes you look good. It makes you look intelligent and that you understand how the world works. You coming in and saying, hey, Sally makes $5,000 more than I do, so I want more money. That makes me think you don't understand how this works. And let me clarify what I mean by that, because that might sound a little like a inflammatory statement or, you know, me being mean or something. You don't know what Sally's performance is like. Sally might be kicking ass and running circles around your performance. You might think you know, but you may not be fully aware of what Sally's output and performance is versus what yours is. You may not know that Sally has, I don't know what everybody does in this scenario, but like you may not be aware that Sally has customer service ratings that are 10 times more positive than yours.
Sally sounds great.
Doesn't she sound great? We should hire her for the podcast. But you know what I mean? Like, so I just make that, I was actually quoted in like a Yahoo article about whether you should ask your coworkers what their salary is. And I was like, no, there's maybe one scenario where it's like your best friend, like Mike and I, we're very, well, you already know everybody's salary if you work in finance.
Yeah, you weren't telling me something I didn't already know.
But like your best friend and you guys share everything and you trust them implicitly, like that is different. And you have some reason, like a legitimate reason you're having this discussion. Like, the reason, by the way, might be my friends talk about money and you're doing financial planning and you're having these discussions and you roughly want to kind of share, you know, what your salary is or whatever. But my biggest thing is do not walk into a discussion trying to ask for a raise with the point that you know what someone else's salary is being your main point, because it will fall incredibly flat. It will rub a lot of people the wrong way. It puts a lot of people in an awkward position also. And look, I know your job isn't to make everybody feel comfortable if you feel like you're underpaid, but it's just not a valid reason. Like, it is not a reason to get a raise. There are so many factors that go into what somebody's salary is. And there's a lot of reasons why people might be paid differently. And you need to focus on what you think your worth is and how you are asking to be paid more.
It's a political landmine and you should stay away from it.
Yeah. And then also, just to be clear, that person, I say, hey, Sally's making 5,000 more. Now you also have HR, your boss, everybody else being like, why is Sally telling people her salary?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why I picked a name that sounds a lot like salary also.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to kind of carry on this point with one more bit of context, the way that I
love when you share context, by the way.
The way that I see this from a company financial perspective is that, you know, if you come to somebody and you say like, well, this person makes $5,000 more to me and that's not fair. The company's like, so what? This isn't about being fair.
The world's not fair. It's like
who cares?
Like,
get out of here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, her piece of cake is bigger than mine.
Unless you are going to leave because of it and you leaving costs them more money than giving you the raise, then this equation does not work financially. And so there's just very little hope of this strategy working. You need to understand it from the company's perspective.
Yeah. And to that point, you just said it again, but I want to like triple click on it. You need to understand it from the company's perspective. If you don't, and the way you come across and you're asked just implies one more thing that is not ideal about you as a potential future leader at that company, which is you pointing to someone else's salary is the reason you should get a raise. I'm telling you, that's another red flag. So it's why I say like, there's just no value in pointing to somebody else's salary. But here's what there is value in, to shift to a positive approach. Someone gave me this piece of advice around the time that the one time I can remember formally asking for a raise. The advice that he gave me was to not demand something right now on the spot. And this is like a nuanced message to understand, but I now see why he gave, after like managing people for decades, I now see why this advice was given, right? When someone walks into my office and is like, I want a $5,000 raise, like now, and they're putting like a like now timeline on it, like that's really hard to do. It takes time to like maneuver these things and to get all the approvals. And look, if you have another offer, which we'll talk about, that's a different situation and discussion, but you take a lot of pressure, if that's the right word, off of a discussion when you come in and say, look, I believe I'm underpaid. I know, like the example I gave earlier, I know I'm a strong performer. I feel like I'm doing, I don't like the word feel sometimes, but like, I know I'm doing a good job in this role. You've given all the feedback you give me is positive. I'm stepping up every time you ask me to, right? Like, make your case on why you're so great. And then talk about how you believe that you are underpaid versus the market and that you want to be equitably paid for the value that you add to this company. Those are the sort of scripts and words you should use, right?
And here's why that's a great idea, Maggie. The company can only move so fast in making changes. So there are cycles to when this stuff is decided. And you know, like once a year, you're going to get some letter that says, here's your 2% raise or whatever it is. Outside of that, everything takes forever. And so if you go in and be like, you know what, I'm underpaid and I need a 5% raise right now, your boss will be like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? I can, like, this is going to take me forever. I need to set up a meeting with HR. I need to talk to my boss, even if I, like, we need to evaluate your request. Like, it will take forever. And so you put your boss in a very uncomfortable position in that they are unable to deliver for you. But here's why giving them time is a great idea. If you tell them what you want and you make the case, then the work they are doing then becomes something that they feel good about. They are making a change on your behalf. They go through the steps in a way that is most comfortable to them, and then they can come back to you with what you have asked for. And so they end up feeling good about the decision versus putting them in what would be an almost impossible position where they wouldn't be able to execute.
Yeah. I think that is just, again, it's why I say it's the best piece of advice I was ever given is don't demand it right now. Say, I want to work towards, and don't say it so open-ended that it's like a multi-year thing, right? Mm-hmm. You be very clear and say like, look, in the next couple months, I'd like to get to the point where I feel like I am equitably paid for the value that I am adding to this team and to this company. And throw in, like, can I give you a real script, Mike?
Okay.
Like, this is off the cuff. So if I had written this in advance, and by the way, write this in advance, practice it, take a discussion like this seriously.
Can Don't I pretend just go to be your in. Boss in this? Or are we going to role play? Okay.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to role play. You're Sally. So if you could get your voice Sally, up you a report few octaves. To me.
Okay.
No, Sally was the peer I was joking about that makes 5,000 more than me. I'm kind of doing this off the cuff, but I want to give you a real example of like a script of me going in, right? Hey, Mike, how's it going? And then I'm going to ramble for like 20 minutes before I get to my point.
Yeah, this script is going to be like 20 pages long.
Fast forward to when I actually finally get up the courage to ask you for a raise. So, hey, Mike, I have something really important I want to talk to you about today. I love working here. I love this company. I'm so committed. And I want to really like preface it with that. I feel like I have done a very good job in this role over the past couple years. I'm adding a lot of value to our company. I get great feedback from all of our stakeholders and partners. You yourself have given me very good feedback during my annual reviews, which I appreciate. And I have realized recently that I may be underpaid for the, you know, market potential for a role like this. And I want to feel like what is important to me. And again, you know, I'm committed to this company, but what is important to me is to feel like I am being equitably paid for the role I play on this team and for the value that I deliver for this team and this company. And so I know we can't necessarily change everything tomorrow and overnight, but I would like to work with you in the coming weeks and months to figure out how we can review my salary and get to a point where we both feel like I'm equitably paid for the value that I am adding to this team.
Can I continue the role play?
Yeah, go for it, Mike.
Maggie, thank you. I know that took a lot of courage to bring to my attention. I have to remind you, though, you don't work for me anymore. You quit your job, and there's nothing I can do. I don't send you a paycheck.
You're funny. Okay, so that was a little bit, that was totally like off the cuff. But to my point, write down your points, sell yourself, like remind someone briefly, right? And a little bit of context, but not too much. Remind them of all the great things you've done in your role, right? Sell yourself a little bit. And then get to the point where, you know, you get them to say like, yeah, I'll like, yes, we're going to work with this. And then, you know, and then don't just like leave it and not bring it back up again for 2 weeks. Say like, okay, what's next? Like, what do you need my help with to continue this discussion? Like, I know you probably need to go to HR. And they, you got to be careful too. Like, don't offend your boss. Don't act like it's not their decision and be like, I know you just have to go talk to your boss, right? Like, see, like, I know you've got to talk with HR and finance and others. Like, what can I do to help support that discussion? And like, what do you need from me at this point to help you?
If they agree with your points.
Be my advocate. Yes, you're right.
I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the first step. Yeah. We hope that they agree. And if they don't agree, ask questions.
Yeah.
Say, hey, like, what is the, there's a range. What do they call it again? I've already forgotten this kind of stuff.
Band.
Like, well, not range, the band, but range. Like, yeah, there's like a pay range that's like, there's a compensation team at your company. Like they comp these roles and there's kind of a general pay range. And it's usually a pretty wide range, but you can ask questions like, well, where am I within the range? Am I high, low, medium? They know that. They won't always tell you, but they do. Someone knows that. And you can say, and if they're not willing to tell you, that's maybe a sign that you're low in the range. Because usually someone will say like, oh, you're about right where you should be, or you're already high in range. Like you are, sometimes you may get told you're actually paid really well and you kind of have to believe them until you want to go like, you know, look elsewhere and figure that out. But ask questions. Say like, if they say, well, actually your performance isn't that great. Like say like, okay, well, I've never gotten that feedback from you before. Don't be defensive, but just say like, I'd love to hear more about. So my point is, to your point, if that's not successful, Mike, that's not the end of the discussion, right? Ask some questions to better understand what is going on. But if you are on point that you are a good performer and that you do think you're underpaid, that conversation probably is going to go successfully in the sense of them at least agreeing to continue the discussion, which is what you want. You want to open up that door for your manager to be able to then go have the discussion they need to have with other people.
Now, this situation is very different than if you get a competing offer and are about to leave.
That's a fast track. You hear me slap my hand. You get that sound effect, Mike? That's a fast track.
Yeah. So everything else we've talked about, totally different scenario. You should not think that they are the same or approach them similarly. But if you get another offer, then the whole like research about what you're worth in the market, like that becomes totally theoretical because you have an offer and you are worth what somebody is willing to pay for you. And so if you got an offer that's $10,000 more, then if you go to your boss and be like, hey, here it is, and I'd like to stay, if you can come up to this, I will. Otherwise, I'm going to leave.
Hey, those are critical words, Mike. I'd like to stay, because too many people roll in with a competing offer and resign and don't actually use it. If you want to stay, if your preference is to stay at the company, you use that as a lever. And I'm not trying to like, you know, pin companies up against each other, but I'm just being serious. Like there's people who it's like they get a higher offer and they think, okay, well, I have to take that job to make $10,000 more. They don't. And then they accept it and then they go and quit. And then that company tries to keep them and then they got to go back to the new company. And it just creates this whole thing where like, tell the company you need a week to think about it and go back to your company and say, hey, I have this competing offer. I want to stay here, but I provide for my family. I want to get paid, you know, what I think is fair. And this is what the market's valuing me at. So if you guys can match this offer, I would love to stay here.
So Maggie, I'd like to do another role play to address our earlier point about knowing your performance and value at the company. So hit me with the offer you just got from another company.
Oh. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Maggie.
What'd you do this weekend?
Nope. Okay, let's cut to the point.
Okay. So this is a really tough discussion. I've been here for 5 years. I love working for you. Well, I kind of like working for you. You're okay. But I love working for this company. And I wasn't even looking for this. Somebody reached out to me that I used to work with. And I you know, kind of went down this path. This is actually how I would do it. There'd be a lot of rambling, by the way. I went down this path. It looked to be a great company and a great fit. And it's $15,000 more. And I now have this offer and I'm really struggling because I want to stay here. I would prefer to stay here, but I can only do it if you guys are willing to match this offer. And I wanted to, I know I'm probably blindsiding you. I know you weren't expecting to deal with this today, but like, I want to have this conversation to see if there's a chance that you guys are willing to meet, or look, you could beat this offer if you want to. for me to stay here, and they're offering me $15,000 more in salary and some other benefits that total about $5,000 in value. And I would prefer to stay here.
Well, Maggie, thank you for bringing this to my attention. I know this is a hard conversation for you to have. I wish you the best of luck. And, I think this role sounds really great for you. Then I hang up this phone call and I call HR and I'm like, all right, so Maggie finally left. I'd like you to post her role. I have a candidate in mind so we can backfill.
We can get her for half as much as she used to make too.
This could really happen.
You're joking, but I was laughing too because I was like, you got to be prepared that actually, yeah, you might be shocked bluff. To find out. Yeah, you do not bluff. You might be shocked to find out that you're actually not as valued as you think. Yeah. And look, don't get too in your head about this. Could be that there's some reorg coming. There's a million reasons why someone might be like,
they just can't do anything.
Countering. Yeah. It might have been that someone else did this 2 days ago that they just dealt with. And they're like, there's not even a discussion to be had here. Like, I know I can't do it. Now, you're probably going to get a different answer, Mike, than what you just gave me. You're probably going to get a more direct answer, which might be like, look, I appreciate you, but like, I happen to know from some recent discussions, there's no additional payroll budget. Things are really tight right now. I'm so sorry. I wish you the best of luck in that new role, because if I were you, I would take that new role too. It's a great opportunity, right? And be prepared. Now, you can always, they can't, by the way, like legally, just because you came in and asked for more money and said you had a competing offer, and then you could come in the next day and be like, oh, actually, I want to stay and I'm going to keep my current salary. You still have the right to do that. You asking for more money and them not giving it to you, or you saying you have another opportunity and you're thinking about it and them not giving you more money as a result. It's not like you didn't give your notice. You didn't, you know what I mean? So it's going to be like super awkward at that point, potentially, maybe not.
Still don't
but
bluff.
Just to be clear, don't bluff. But if you were bluffing, it's not like you can't technically still stay in your job. You've just now been shown as a bluffer.
Yeah, you do not want to you do not want to get your bluff called and then have to hang around with those people for a while.
Yeah. and on that note, just in general, we've said a lot of these things, but I think it's worth double clicking on them. Like, in all these discussions, and Mike and I are like half being serious in our role playing and half joking, because we're just, it's hard for either half of us to be 100% serious. But like, be respectful, be patient, think like a people manager, right? All those things we were talking about earlier is like, a huge piece of this is showing that you've got the leadership competencies for someone who should be paid more and is adding more value and has more potential within the company, because that's what they're looking for. And this isn't just what you're asking for, right? What you're asking for is another $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000. It's how you're asking for it, right? And that how is critical.
And that's really important, because it is not like that person's money. You're not asking for a personal check from your boss. So they have no financial skin in the game. This is all political and emotional. It has impacts to their relationships. And so you definitely need to take this from their perspective as you're going in.
Mike, I love that you said it's all like political and emotional. And you didn't use the word financial, because the biggest thing is too, it is financial, which is like, I had a payroll budget. Every team has a payroll budget, and you're either like over or under budget. You have to answer for that. And I can't just magically make up $20,000, right? I can't just print new money. I have to have discussions and trade-offs with someone to say, hey, okay, when I hire this open role I have, I'm going to hire a more junior person to make up for that. Usually I am like horse trading when I have these discussions. I'm like, okay, well, or we're trading multiple people's promotions and salary increases for a whole role. We're saying like, I'll give back a role that I'm not going to hire in order to cover the cost of these increases, because these people are really important to me. So, and that's why I say, like, think like a people manager who is managing a budget. And I just, as a member of the finance team, I feel like that's important to make that note.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. There is money behind this from the company perspective, but it is not your boss's money, Yes. So like the politics of managing your budget are just that. Like, if you go over budget or under budget, it doesn't, like, you don't get more money or they don't take money out of your paycheck. It is like a company thing that you have to manage.
Yeah, you have to manage the approval or the denial, right, of that.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, horse trading. I don't know. I never can ever think of a better word. That's the negotiation that we're constantly doing in work of like, you know, if I was constantly doing that, eventually I wouldn't be seen as a good leader if like every single time I'm over budget and I wouldn't even get approved. Like HR and finance wouldn't let me keep just giving people more money. It's just because it's not in the budget. Someone has to manage the budget.
So to bring this full circle, if you do all of these things and it doesn't work out for you, you should not be resentful of that fact, because you are not entitled to a job or a certain salary or a promotion or whatever it is. Like, these are all things that are at will and based on your performance and how the company values what you are contributing to them. And so go into it with that in mind and be okay to not get what you want, and also be okay to leave if it's really that important to you.
Yeah. Okay. I hope that was helpful to people. I want to do a little bonus topic on this that's related.
Bonus role play?
Bonus. I think there might be some role playing here.
Okay.
Okay. I want to kind of ask you, I actually was recently asked this by a good friend, and I've been asked this a number of times though. I want to see how you answer it.
All right.
And then I'll share my thoughts. What if you are switching companies? You're interviewing, you don't want to stay at the company you're at. You're not trying to like use this offer to, you know, have leverage. You legitimately are trying to switch companies and you want this other job, and you're trying to use it as a, you know, you want the job, but also you want the job because you're going to make a bunch more money by switching companies, which is common. By the way, I think we sort of embedded this in some things we said, but it is super common that it's common, but irrational that another company that you have no history with is willing to often pay you more than the company that you're with right now. And then if and when you leave, they may have to pay someone more to replace you. Anyways, I'm not even going to get into the irrationality of that. But you're switching companies. That hiring manager or HR or whoever is asking you what salary you're looking to make, like how much you currently make or what salary you're looking to make in this role. Like, what's the salary range you're expecting out of this role?
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer it?
Oh, this is a good question. I have negotiated compensation at different companies before. And what I have done personally and what I see the most success in is being honest and specific. And so I always tell them exactly what I make and the compensation structure that I have. Otherwise, what happens is like I get into these conversations and they end up almost always offering me 40% lower than what I already make. And I'm like, why did you even talk to me, guys? Like, you are recruiting for a different type of job than the one I have. Now, here is the key. You need to be confident in your delivery of this, and you need to be committed to holding your ground. If you are desperate to leave and you're going to take whatever they offer you, then this is not a strategy that's going to work out. You need to be prepared to just say like, no, I told you what I make and I told you what I want, and this is not it. And then be prepared to turn down the offer. If you are not willing to do that, people will see through it. I promise you.
So Mike, I don't disagree with anything you just said, but I would answer that question very differently. Okay. I did answer that. And the point I make is why I say like it can be both is this is so nuanced. All these discussions around salaries and how to ask for a raise, like, again, it's an art, not a science, right? And you have to kind of situationally like understand. But I'll tell you how I answered my friend's question.
Okay.
And how I would still answer this unless I had like, you know, more details that again kind of shifted me in a different direction. You said be very specific. My advice was a little bit of the opposite of like give a range. But so here's what I would say is, one, they legally cannot ask you how much you make now. In most states, is that a state law or a federal thing?
I don't know.
But I know in our state, you're not actually allowed to ask people that. I think that's like in most states, you're not allowed to ask people their current salary. You can ask to verify it like later on or something. There's some like nuances to it. Look, I'm not an HR professional, but you don't have to answer it, right? And so you can kind of avoid here's the reason I would say that is, there are a lot of times when you can make some pretty big salary shifts from one job to another. And a lot of people who are very underpaid. And in this case, I know this person was underpaid, even from some of my own experience in like different pay ranges. And so my advice to them was like, do not tell them what you're currently making. That's not a factor here. This is about what you're worth and what the market potential is. And this company was also in a different location. I said, don't tell them what you make. Just avoid that part of the thing. Focus, like shoot high. So you have a sense of what the market potential is. And she had kind of asked around and done some research. So I threw out what I thought the potential of this role was. And she was like, I asked a couple other people. They said the exact same as you. So she's now thinking like this is about the range. And then give them a range. Say, look, hey, and you can say like, I'm currently making around, and you can kind of say like, there's a lot of different comp and benefits involved and you know, what I get. I'm looking to make in the range of 120 to 140, but this is the other thing. Shoot high, give a range. Now, just to be clear, give a range where the low end is high to you, if that makes sense. This is a negotiation, right? So you want to shoot high, in my opinion. But preface it all with a statement like, but I'm not just focused on the salary. Ultimately, I'm looking for a company that's a good fit, where there's a good, you know, work-life balance, where I enjoy who I respect and, you know, can learn from who I'm working for, blah, blah, blah. Like fill in all those things that matter to you and that you've discussed during the, you know, hiring process. And the reason you want to add that piece about how you're not just focused on salary is as a backup. So if you've shot too high and you've said, you know, what you're making 80 now and you're trying to get into the 120 to 140 range, which is a possible shift, just to be clear, in switching companies in some areas, especially if you're underpaid and you've been at a company for a long time and there's some different factors. That little like caveat at the end that this is what you're ideally looking for, but that you are most focused on the full package of like where you're going and not just the salary, it gives you an out. So if they come back and they say, hey, we heard like, you haven't given a hard number. So if you said 120 to 140 and they come back and they're like, look, we really want you, 110 is the best we can do, then you don't have to backpedal too much. You're like, okay, like you come in saying, you know, yes, that's less than I was hoping for, but I'm really focused on the potential at this company. I'm confident I can prove to you my value over time and we can get to a higher salary over time. And I'm willing to take that to, and because in your head, you're like, holy crap, that's, you know, 30 grand more than I'm making now. Right. And so to me, this is a negotiation. One of the best times to negotiate is when you're switching companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I agree that, you know, making a little more friendly and highlighting your priorities is an important way to manage the next steps. I do. One point though, like when someone,
yeah, dude, I think it's fun to debate.
I know. When I hear something and they're like, I'm like, well, how much does she make? Sally, you know, Sally comes to me. Yeah, I know Sally's fantastic. And they're like, well, I don't know how much she makes, but she's asking for like 120 to 150 in salary. I'm like, well, that means she makes 90 and here's the role for the range. So, and here's your budget. So why don't you can offer a 95 or 100, but like, I don't like, that doesn't give a lot of confidence to people who are reviewing it, that you yourself are confidently knowing your worth. And I think that is the key. So having some level of specificity, you can still give a range, be like, I still think it's important, even if like, if you know you're low, and that's a valid point. So my situation's different because I've been fairly well compensated, but I also had more complex compensation structures involving stock and other bonuses. Yeah. And so it was better for me to give specifics. If you just have a base salary and like a flat bonus and you know you're underpaid, you could just say like, well, I'm looking to switch because I'm underpaid and I'm looking to make 120 to 130 in base. Like give a more narrow range if you really want to. You don't have to give your salary if you don't want to, but I do think some level of specificity helps because it helps manage their expectations.
Yeah, but to your point, if you are grossly underpaid and resent and all these other, you know, things that come with that, there's no value in telling people like exactly what you make, right? Especially when you don't have to. And my big thing is, and Mike, you said it a couple of times, you feel like you've always been fairly paid most of the time or always, whatever, always. That is not where a lot of people are coming from, right? And so so I agree. If you feel like you're paid well, like great. Yeah, I'm not saying like, you know, try to be greedy and ask for things you don't deserve and all this other stuff. I'm talking about scenarios where you are underpaid. There's just no, there's very little value. You don't have to share it. And even in that case where you were like saying you were talking to an HR person, and they're like, you know, how much they pay, how much they're making now versus, you know, what the range of the role is. These roles, sometimes you're shifting into a completely different role. It's not about what you're making now. It is about the value of the role that you're hiring someone for. Now, it is about, do I have less experience and all these other things? So, right, if I'm an underdog coming into this role and the salary range is 120 to 150, I expect to make 120, right? Or maybe even less, you know, be below range, right? And so I think it's more about all these other factors. But the one factor that I just don't think matters, especially when you're switching companies, is what you're currently paid.
And I guess one final point before we get to our top three takeaways, Maggie, is that, you know, we are conditioned to believe that getting promoted is what we want. Getting raises is what we deserve. It's important to like know what you really care about. Do you care about the title? Do you care about the money? Do you care about what you're doing day to day? And really put this into perspective. You should always like try to make as much money as you can. You should always try to spend as little as you can. But don't get so hung up that like you ruin the enjoyment of a job because you feel wronged by an employer or something along those lines as it relates to money. If you have your priorities straight, you will know how much to lean into these things.
Yep, very much agree. I remember frequently telling my boss and asking people on my team what is most important to them, like title, money, the type of work you're doing, because that helps me to better manage your career. There's people very focused on a certain title. And I'm like, I was way more focused on like getting paid fairly. I don't care what you want to call me, as long as I feel like I'm getting paid fairly for the value I'm contributing. Okay, let's wrap this up and do our top three takeaways.
All right.
Number one,
know your worth and what you care about.
Number two, don't ask for something today. Ask for a plan to get to where you want to be.
And number three, know your talking points and your walking points.
I like it. Okay. And walking, by the way, is what you're like. Are you willing to walk away from
it? Yeah, I think right? people picked up on that. Yeah,
okay, just checking. Talking, walking points. Okay. Speaking of walking, I think we should walk this out. Walk it out.
Thanks, everybody,
you don't like
for listening.
When I you can't just start talking over me while I start singing. What do you think this is, Mike?
Sorry, I thought you were done. I didn't realize you were going to break into song. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any questions or thoughts, we always love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can hit us up on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.